Red Dwarf Series 6 Episode 1. Sirens. In this episode, our friends find themselves in more trouble than they can ever remember. Red Dwarf has been stoned by unknown entities. For 200 years, they have been frozen in time in Starbuck, trying to find Red Dwarf. In the middle of their pursuit, they get attacked by dangerous creatures called Sirens. Will they find Red Dwarf? And will they survive the soul-sucking powers of the Sirens? Come and see for yourself. Starfield. We pan to reveal enormous sun. After a pause, Starbuck beetles across the disk of the sun. Observation deck. Dark. Various consoles click into life as we pan around the room and come to rest on two deep sleep units. Suddenly, one of them flares with blue light from the inside and its hood hisses back, revealing a slowly waking, bearded Lister wearing soiled long johns. He sits up. His mouth tastes vile. He notices his fingernails and toenails are 6 inches long. Lister pads across the room and starts to cut his nails in a desk-mounted pencil sharpener. He catches his reflection in a blank TV screen. Lister says to his reflection,
"Who the hell are you?"
Starbuck engine room. Crichton empties some waste into a large hatch marked apostrophe waste compactor and presses the start button. Crushing sounds. He opens the hatch and takes out the garbage, now in a perfect cube. Midsection. More high-tech than before. Light panels line the back wall. Switches, radar screens, etc. There is a large flat scanner screen, which doubles as a table, surrounded by 4 chairs. Crichton climbs up the spiral staircase with the waste cube. Lister is standing there, looking a bit nonplussed.
Welcome back online, sir. How are you feeling?
I can't remember anything. I don't know who I am. What is this place? Who are you?
As he speaks, Crichton places the cube in a waste disposal chute and launches it into space.
Ah, you have a touch of amnesia. That's quite common after such a long period in deep sleep. You've been out for just over 200 years.
200 years?
Actually, I woke you last spring, but you absolutely insisted on another 3 months.
What did you say my name was?
Lister, sir.
And you are Dash?
Lister follows Crichton into the galley.
Crichton, I was just preparing your breakfast tray.
Lister examines the tray.
These cornflakes have got grated raw onions sprinkled over them.
That's how you like them, sir.
Do I? From this orange juice is revolting.
That's not orange juice, sir. That's your early morning pick-me-up. Chilled vindaloo sauce.
I drink curry sauce for breakfast.
Depends on your mood. If you get up in the afternoon, you often prefer to start the day with a can of last night's flat lager. That's why you sleep with a tea strainer by your bed, to sieve out the cigar dimps.
I drink, I smoke, I have curry sauce for breakfast. Raw onions on my cereal. I sound like some barely human grossed out slime ball.
Oh, excellent, sir. It's all flooding back then.
No, none of it is.
Crichton sets a box in front of Lister.
Perhaps these will help. Your personal artifacts. You asked me to keep them safe.
Lister takes out a photo.
Christine Kachansky. You dated her for 3 weeks once. Before she discarded you for a catering officer.
She's beautiful.
It's your ambition, sir, somehow to get her back and lie on top of her and move up and down rapidly in that curious way that humans find so agreeable. Personally, I prefer partnership whist.
Lister takes out a book.
Ah, wait a minute. This feels more like it. Aristotle's Metaphysica. At last dash something wholesome and commendable about me.
Hardly, sir. You use that book to hide your secret Polaroid collection of naked ex-girlfriends.
God, I went out with a log of nurses, didn't I?
I don't believe those are authentic uniforms, sir. Note the astonishing brevity of those hemlines. I believe all those girls are imposters, pretending to belong to the medical profession for some nefarious purpose as yet unknown.
Crichton hands Lister his guitar.
Is this mine? Do I play the guitar?
Do you play the guitar? Do I have a head shaped like an amusing ice cube? Why don't you chalk out a few power chords? See if anything comes back to you.
Lister plucks tunelessly at the strings.
The axeman's back.
Don't patronize me. I can't play the guitar. Anyone with half an ear can tell that.
Please, Sir Dash, you are not yourself at present. When you're fully functional and your personality's restored, you will firmly believe that you can play the guitar like the ghost of Hendrix.
Is there something good you can tell me about myself? Something laudable?
Laudable, well, you frequently help me with my laundry duties by wearing your underpants inside out and extending their wear time by 3 weeks.
I'm an animal. I'm a tasteless, uncouth, tone-deaf, mindless, revolting, randy, blokish, semi-literate space bum. Welcome back, Davy.
Crichton opens the fridge, gets out Rimmer's frozen light tea and pops it into a pan of boiling water.
What's that?
M.R. Rimmer, sir. He's a hologram, sir. This is his light tea.
Rimmer, he's my best mate, isn't he?
You are sick, sir. I'm getting worried. Maybe a little synaptic enhancer will do the trick.
Crichton takes out Sir Inch gun and fires it into Lister's neck. Crichton takes the light bee out of the water and places it in an egg cup. And Lister follows Crichton into midsection. Crichton places the light bee on the scanner and sits in front of the computer screen on the Ruwil.
Initiating boot up sequence.
Crichton taps some panels on the keyboard, and the light bee flares into life and hovers out of the egg cup.
Download physical form.
Rimmer's image crackles into existence around the light bee in black and white, with ripples of white noise interference.
Access personality banks.
On the screen, a bar chart appears.
Download characteristics. Low barricades.
The first bar shrinks towards the bottom of the screen, like liquid being poured from a vial, to the accompaniment of appropriate computer sound effects.
Low charisma.
The second bar disappears off the screen with a single blip.
Low neuroses.
The next, the longest bar, drains off the screen. Followed by the next, and the next, and the next, Rimmer becomes fully formed and colorful.
Download memory.
As Rimmer receives his memory, his face contorts into various combinations of horror, shock, anguish, and occasional brief spasms of joy. He gets his bearings.
Oh, that Rimmer.
They are all sitting around the scanner's cup. The cat is cracking the head of a boiled mouse in an egg cup. Rimmer is looking at him aghast. Lister is tucking into his cornflakes.
Good cornflakes. Nice and oniony. Pass me the Tabasco sauce dash, just needs a bit more pep in it.
Congratulations, sir. You seem to be on your way to full recall. Next thing you know, you'll be convinced you can play the guitar.
I can play the guitar. I'm a diva, man. I can make that lump of wood sing like a Yukon bear trapper on his annual visit to the brothel.
That says maybe, bud. But the deal stays the same.
I know. If I want to strum my guitar, I have to put on a suit and do it in outer space. Peasants.
Lister liberally douses the cornflakes with Tabasco, then swigs from the bottle.
Suggest we begin a debriefing. M.R. Rimmer.
Thank you, Crichton. Gentlemen, as we're all aware, we have lost Red Dwarf. This is not the time for small-minded, petty recrimination. The time for that is when Lister is court-martialed after we get back to Earth.
I didn't lose it.
You're the one who parked it, Lister. You're the one who couldn't remember which planetoid you'd left it around.
Yeah, but they all look the same, those little blue-green planetoids. They're all sort of little, blue-green and planetoidy.
Sirs, please, there's no advantage in finger-pointing. We didn't lose Red Dwarf. Red Dwarf was stolen by persons or life forms unknown.
Who would steal a gigantic red trash can with no brakes and 3 million years on the clock?
Rogue droids, genetically engineered life forms, figments of M.R. Lister's imagination made solid by some weird space ray. Who knows? The important thing is, after 200 years of following their vapor trail, we have them.
What do you mean?
Crichton clears some breakfast things off the scanner screen.
They've been forced to make a massive detour to circumnavigate this asteroid belt. However, Starbuck is small enough to negotiate its way directly through the middle. For the first time in 2 centuries, we have the opportunity to head them off at the pass, as it were, and recover Holly.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Without deflectors? What about Space Corps Directive 1742?
1742. Apostrophe, no member of the Corps should ever report for active duty in a Ginger 2P. Thanks for reminding us of that regulation, sir. But is it really that pertinent in this particular situation?
1743, then.
Oh, I see. Apostrophe, no registered vessel should attempt to transverse an asteroid belt without deflectors. Apostrophe.
Yes. God, he's pedantic.
Rimmer, check out the supply situation. Printout. Your hologram's on battery backup. We've only got oxygen for 3 months, water if we drink recycle, 7 weeks. And worst of all, we're down to our last 2,000 poppadoms. We're in trouble, big time.
You know how unstable these belts are. Rogue asteroids, meteor storms. One direct hit on that plexiglass V-screen, and our innards will be turned inside out quicker than a pair of Lister's old underpants.
We're out of options, man. We're taking her in.
Recommend the cat pilots. His superior reflexes and nasal intuition will give us our best chance.
Cat, Lister, and Crichton stand to leave.
For pity's sake, one breach in that hull, and we're people paid.
There's an old cat proverb, apostrophe, it's better to live 1 hour as a tiger than a whole lifetime as a worm, apostrophe.
There's an old human saying, apostrophe, whoever heard of a worm's can R-U-G question mark apostrophe.
Starbuck's rear jets flare and it arcs into the asteroid belt. We see the back of Starbuck as it tacks through a narrow gap between 2 huge asteroids. Cockpit. All at their stations. Tense. Suddenly, orange light flares from their right. Cat wrenches the controls to the left. A huge lick of flame leaps out at Starbuck from a gas geyser on one of the asteroids. Starbuck nicks the opposite asteroid as it swerves to avoid the flame, and they all stagger with the impact.
Nice stick work, man.
Cat wrinkles his nose.
Something's coming.
Nothing on the navicomp.
I can smell it. Scream. Big.
I'm getting nothing, either.
These nostrils never lie.
He's right. Coordinate 1746 by 9472. Take a peek, gentlemen. There's a meteor bigger than King Kong's first dump of the day, and it's screaming straight towards us.
It's far too vast to go around.
Reverse thrust.
There's no time. Face it, Dashley, deader than Corgroy.
Crichton, you know what to do.
On my way, sir.
Lister, given that we've got as much chance of getting out of this in one piece as a jammy dodger that's been dunked in hot coffee and wiggled about for 3 minutes, perhaps you'd do me the courtesy of explaining what he's doing.
He souped up the waste disposal, filled the eject system with rocket fuel, and turned it into a sort of high-impact garbage cannon.
A garbage cannon? You're going to try and shoot that out of the sky with tin cans and a banana peel?
There's a thermos of nitroglycerin in there, too.
Crichton picks up a cube of garbage, opens a hatch in the wall marked apostrophe waste disposal unit 5 apostrophe and places the cube in the shoe inside.
Waste disposal unit armed and ready to fire.
Crichton Dash, will this work?
Lie mode. It will work, sir. No worries. To Lister hook, line, sinker, rod and copy of angling times.
Here it comes.
Bearing 0792. Fire.
Crichton pulls the waste disposal lever. The waste cube blasts out of an orifice above Starbuck's front lights, heads straight for the giant meteor, hits it in the middle and blasts it to pieces. All whoop and cheer, apart from Rimmer, who shakes his head in disbelief.
Relocating Red Dwarf's vapor trail. Presents speed and course, estimated time of interception, 12 hours, 7 minutes.
Check your screens. I'm getting something new, and it does not smell good.
Enhance 4. Nothing. Enhance 816. 32 still nix. Enhance 64. Got it. Some kind of ship.
Wait a minute. There's another one. And another.
I'm getting them too. 10 of them 12.
All derelict.
It looks like this is some kind of spaceship graveyard. A tiny starplink lies between a group of asteroids, all with wrecked spacecraft embedded in them. Anyone else got the feeling that we've been led here like lambs to the kebab shop?
We are not moving another inch until we've found out what brought these ships down.
Recommend we stop engines and launch cover.
Cat licks some switches.
Engines stopped. Launching's cover.
In the crashed ship, we are inside. A laser beam burns a circle in the hull, which falls inwards, and Scouter's search beam pierces the smoke as it hovers through the hole into the ship. Lister,
Crichton and Cat hunched over the scanner screen.
We're in.
Scouter's paw as it hovers its way through the derelict craft. Dark and scary.
Scouter, stop. Go back. Stop. Angle 45 degrees to your left. Magnify.
What's that?
Human remains. Wait. Angle 5 degrees right. 10 degrees up. Stop. There, some kind of writing on the floor. P-S-I-R-E-N-S. Sirens.
The poor devil scrawled it in his death throes, using a combination of his own blood and even some lengths of his own intestines.
Who would do that?
Someone who badly needed a pen.
What I don't understand is why he went to the trouble of using his kidney as a full stop.
I don't think he meant that. It probably just plopped out.
Whoever he was, clearly he was desperate to warn any poor wretches who wandered into the same deadly trap.
They exchange worried looks.
Scouters located the black box. Replay final entry.
On the screen, white noise, which settles to become all on one shot. Overhead, wide angle. Magistra, white-eyed with fear, talks directly to the camera, eating a burger ravenously. They're closing in. They're all over the ship. They've got Hank and Lugo. Tina, Jerry, Tim, Gordy, Sam. They even got Jeff. At least I think so. I found a huge pile of his intestines on his bunk. Maybe the rest of him escaped. I don't know. What am I saying? I'm half crazed with fear. I know I'm next. It's just a matter of time before from the doorway behind him, a hideous insectoid biped with mandibles advances towards him. Insectoid speaks in some sort of disgusting language that no one can understand. Oh God, you're so beautiful, I can't resist you. But I have to be strong. I know what you want. More insect talk. No, you don't. You want to love me. You want to suck out my brains with a straw, like you did the rest of them. More insect talk. I'm different. Is that what you said to Jeff? Just before you slurped up the contents of his skull like it was a double thick brain shake? Get away from me. The insectoid reaches him. He backs out of shot. The creature holds up a metal straw and follows. The straw screams. The screen is splattered with red. What have you done, you evil harlot? You've squeezed all the ketchup out of my burger. Now what? No. Get that straw out of my ear. There is a slurping sound and more gunk hits the screen. The insectoid lurches into view, something gray and slimy dangling from its mouth. It sucks it in like spaghetti, then licks the screen. The four of them watching the replay on the scanner screen. Without changing expression, Rimmer falls backwards out of shock in a dead faint. Starbuck gingerly tacks through the spaceship graveyard. All seated round the scanner table. Lister has a sheaf of papers.
Okay. Scouters checked out black boxes on three of the derelicts. This entire belt is swarming with some kind of genetically engineered life form who can alter your perception, telepathically. They're called sirens. Like with OCs in the ancient Turkish legend.
I believe the legend was Greek, sir.
Whatever. Some country that stake on curly shoes and homos. The point is, they use this power of illusion to lure you onto the asteroids, strip the ship of anything they can use and suck out your brains.
They shouldn't bother us, then. There's barely a snack on board.
We can't turn back. We'll lose Rat Dwarf.
Look, we'll be through the belt in 3, maybe 4 hours. We've just got to be on our toes. They'll try and tempt us, scare us, break our morale dash anything to force us down onto the rocks. Just be alert.
The wall monitor starts to fizzle with white noise.
Incoming message. It's pretty weak.
Cat crosses to the monitor and fine-tunes the controls. The screen clears and cushiony, curtainy area. Two beautiful impresses appear.
Please help us. Our settlement is almost extinct. There are only women left.
Barely 3,000 of us.
If we are to survive, we need males to spread their seed among our number. We beg you. Make love to us.
Make love to all of us. Please, we beseech you.
The screen dies.
You heard apostrophe M dash they want seed spreaders. I'm going to apply. You guys deal with this siren thing. I'll deal with this.
Cat dashes into the cockpit. Pause. He steps back again.
Call me paranoid, but you don't think they were these siren dude things? ?
Lister, Rimmer, and Crichton nod patiently.
Even the brunette?
Lister, Rimmer, and Crichton nod.
You don't think there's any chance they're just two nice girls who both happen to want my seed for totally legitimate reasons?
Lister, Rimmer, and Crichton shake their heads.
I don't need to tell you this is a big disappointment. Damn vixens. How could they be so cunning? If anyone wants me, I'll be taking a cold shower in liquid oxygen.
Cat exits to cockpit.
Well, if that's the most sophisticated enticement these sirens can throw at us, I hardly think we're exactly in danger of being bewitched.
If I may postulate a theory, sir, that was merely the level of sophistication required to lure the cat. And it worked. Had we not stopped him, he would now be on one of those asteroids, crawling around without his brain, trying to ride apostrophe oh boy, was I sucker at with his own intestinal tract.
Look, we'll make it. All we've got to do is stay on the case.
The screen fizzles.
Incoming message. Here they come again.
The picture is riddled with interference. 27 int. Ship interior. A wounded woman looks into the camera. In the background, through the smoke, we can vaguely make out that the woman and her companions are fighting a futile rearguard action. She is talking into a communicator.
Can anyone read me? This is Captain Tau of the SCS Pioneer. We're under attack from some kind of scavengers-sirens. They lured us onto this godforsaken asteroid-killed most of the crew. She turns and lets out a volley of laser fire.
Is this genuine?
The woman is shot dead. A second woman picks up the communicator and turns to the screen.
Don't try and help us. We're finished. Save yourselves.
Kachansky.
Dave, is that you?
I thought you were dead.
No time to explain. We're overrun. Get out of the belt while you can.
It's Kachansky.
We'll be okay dash they'll never take us alive. I'm keeping back 3 bullets. One for me and one for each of the 2 kids.
Kids?
Your 2 sons, Dave.
My sons? But how I don't understand.
When you went into stasis, I broke into the sperm bank. Dave, back on Red Dwarf. You're a father. Here they come. The gun and calls off. Jim, Bexley, come to mummy.
Wait. Don't do anything. I'm coming in.
The screen blanks.
Crichton dash get the bazookoids. Rimmer dash plot the course.
Lister grabs a space helmet.
Lister, tune into Sanity FM.
What? Are you saying they were sirens?
Of course. It's as plain as a Bulgarian pinup.
You're sure?
Come on, Listy, you're giving simpletons a bad name.
Cat leans in from the cockpit.
I think you should take a look at this. Something's heading straight for us.
What is it?
What do you call one of those giant meteorites that are covered in flames?
A giant flaming meteorite.
That's it.
Flaming meteor hurtling through space. Cockpit. All take up their stations.
Should I load the garbage cannon?
Wouldn't make a dent.
Plot course change.
Crichton turns to Navicomp.
Engaging reheat.
Wait. There's nothing on the radar.
So?
I think it's another illusion.
Sirens.
Cat, are you getting any scent from that meteorite?
Scent? You think there's going to be a duty-free shop on it?
Can you smell anything?
No.
Right parenthesis just a little hole of here.
Recommend we maintain current course. That fireball does not exist.
Say you're wrong.
Sir, I'll stake my reputation on it.
Crichton, you haven't got a reputation.
No, but I hope to acquire one from this escapade.
It's closing. Too late to run.
The others brace themselves. Crichton remains defiantly erect.
Relax, gentlemen, we're quite safe.
The flaming meteor hurtles towards Starbuck and passes harmlessly through it. They are momentarily bathed in an orange glow, then back to normal. They unbrace.
Well, I can't hang around saving your necks all day. Slacker mode.
Crichton slackers out.
Guess I'd better make a start on that ironing.
Lister follows him.
I'm getting another one.
Right parenthesis better get Crichton. He'll tell us what to do. I'm perfectly capable of dealing with a giant flaming meteorite, thank you so very much. We do not need to enlist the services of a domestic droid with a head shaped like a genetically flawed lumpfish.
Okay, keep your H on. So what do we do?
There's nothing on the radar. It's another illusion. We do nothing.
Lister and Crichton come back in.
What's happening, guys? Captain, temperature's rising.
Sirens again. Another illusion. It's all in hand.
Permission to speak, sir.
Refused.
What if this time it's a real fireball and the radar readout that's the illusion?
Relax, gentlemen. We're quite safe.
Cat-chuck a left, man.
They brace themselves, except for Rimmer, who stands nobly erect. The flaming meteor hurtles towards Starbuck and smashes into it. Rimmer gets flung backwards through the cockpit door. Sparks and smoke from the consoles. Starbuck crashes onto an asteroid. Lister and Cat are putting out small fires on the consoles. Crichton is checking the computer screen. Rimmer staggers in.
Any damage?
Not too bad. A couple of the sensors are out, fuel intake chambers are both flooded, and the left pilot seat doesn't go up and down anymore.
We came through that intact.
Starbuck was built to last, sir. This old baby's crashed more times than a ZX-81.
It's the material it's built from. Aerospace engineers discovered that, after a plane crash, the only thing that always survives intact is a cute little doll. They built Starbuck out of the same stuff.
How long before we can take off again?
Oh, just a matter of wait. The front landing's tension is embedded in the rock up to its joint. We're going to have to go out there and blast it free.
I'll go.
Sir, the atmosphere is thin, and this place is likely to be crawling with sirens.
You sort out the engines. I'll be out there 2 minutes, maximum.
Crash Starbuck. Tiny sparks by the front landing leg. We cut to welding gun held by Lister in spacesuit as he tries to free Starbuck's landing leg. Attached to the neck of the suit is a breathing pipe, which looks a bit like a harmonica, from which he occasionally sucks air. He stops and presses a communicator button on his wrist.
How's that?
District. Looking good. We'll clear the rest on takeoff.
On my way back.
Lister packs his gear. From behind him, he hears siren. Hi, Dave. Lister spins to see a siren dash across between Catwoman and Barbarella.
Smaking heck. It's Pete Tranter's sister.
Remember me, Dave? You lusted after me all through your puberty. There's nothing more potent than an adolescent fantasy. Don't you remember? You wanted me so badly, and now, at last, I can be yours.
Lister trains his welding gun on her.
Back off, Pete Tranter's sister. I know what you're after. It's moist and pink and it's inside my head. And that's where it's staying.
Oh, come on, Dave. You know what you want. You want to squeeze my buttocks together to make one juicy giant peach.
I get it. You're trying to make me drown in my own drool. Well, it won't work.
Don't fight it.
Pete Tranter's sister advances. On the ground we see the shadow she casts is her true form, the hideous bipedal insectoid we saw before. Lister, unaware, swoons and sways, trying to fight his desire.
Stay back, Pete Tranter's sister.
How long has it been since you made love to a woman?
I admit it's been a while.
It's been over 3 million years, Dave.
I prefer to count it in ice ages, then it's just 4. And if you count it in leap ice ages, it's hardly even 1.
That's a long time, Dave, for a man of your drives.
That's a long time for a Welsh shepherd who's allergic to wool.
Kiss me.
Two shot, as the siren approaches Lister, we see it in its insectoid form.
I can't resist you anymore, Pete Tranter's sister.
Your death will be exquisite. I'll take you to the peak of ecstasy, then I'll blow your mind.
We intercut between Lister passionately necking with Pete Tranter's sister and Lister necking with the hideous insectoid siren, including licking its swarthy dripping mandibles. Slowly, Pete Tranter's sister raises a metal straw, like the one we saw in the Mega Straw scene, about to plunge it into his head, when a shot rings out and Pete Tranter's sister is hit in the back. Before Lister's eyes, the illusion ends and he sees the insectoid siren thrashing around on the ground, squealing in its death throes. He looks up. Crichton holds a smoking bazookoid.
Come on, Dave Dash, let's get out of here.
As Lister walks past him, we see Crichton is concealing a metal straw behind his back.
Dave,
Lister spins as the metal straw arcs down towards his head. He blasts Crichton. The illusion ends and another insectoid siren dies, jerking and squealing. Lister's radio crackles.
District. Sir. Is everything okay out there?
Stand by with the airlock. I'm coming back.
And Crichton craning over the mic. What's the delay?
District. A couple of sirens wiped each other out fighting over my brains. Oh, no. It's the TV weather girl from Channel 27.
Sir. Fibit. Don't look at her.
District. It's not that easy, Crichton. You can't see what she's doing with her pointy stick.
I'm starting up the engines.
Get back in here.
Crichton exits to midsection. Over the radio, we hear Lister firing.
District. On my way.
Cat starts up the engines. Midsection. Crichton stands by the airlock, looking at the video monitor. The monitor blinks into life and Lister appears.
District. It's me.
Crichton presses a button. Airlock doors. The outer airlock doors hiss and through swirling smoke, Lister steps in. He presses the door close button. Midsection. Crichton opens the inner airlock door and closes it as Lister staggers in.
It's getting pretty hairy out there. Come on, Dash, let's vamoose.
Cockpit. Cat starts to take off. Midsection. As Crichton and Lister head for the cockpit, the airlock monitor fizzes on again and a second Lister appears on the screen.
What the hell are you doing taking off when I'm still outside? Let me in.
Crichton double takes between the Lister inside and the Lister on the monitor.
I'm afraid, sir, you're already here.
Steps down from the cockpit.
Okay, Lister 1 will be indicated with one beep. The second Lister with two beeps.
He's a siren, Dash, don't let him in. For God's sake, Dash, I can't hang on any longer. He's the siren. Let me in.
What do we do?
There's no way to tell which is which. We have to let him in.
That means we'll definitely have one siren on board. A brain-sucking psychotic temporal lobe slurper.
There's a 50% chance we have one on board already. We can't risk killing the real Lister. I'm letting him in.
What about Space Corps Directive 5796?
5796? Apostrophe no officer above the rank of mess sergeant is permitted to go into combat with Pierce 10 IPPLES apostrophe question mark exclamation point. Pardon me, but how does that possibly pertain to the current situation?
5797, then.
To hell with the regs, sir. I'm letting him in.
Crichton presses the door release.
On your square head be it.
Starbuck flying through asteroid belt. The two Lister S are seated side by side. Crichton has a bazookoid trained on him. Rimmer watches them warily. The cat steps down from the cockpit with a bazookoid.
We're on auto.
How many times? He's the siren. I'm me. How can you believe this for 2 seconds? He doesn't even look like me. He's podgy. He hasn't got my classic profile.
Sir, you both look identical.
The two Lister S look at each other, then look forward.
We're going to try some tests.
A series of questions to trick and confuse you. If you fail to answer correctly or for any reason hesitate, you'll be shot.
Lister, come on, Rimmer, give us a break. For God's sake, Rimmer, do me a lemon.
Crichton.
Crichton throws 2 apples. Both Lister S catch them right-handed.
Both right-handed. Correct. You have a tattoo on your left buttock, true or false?
You. It's dedicated to the one unbending love of your life. Describe the tattoo.
It's a heart with an arrow through it, and underneath it says apostrophe I love Indo in dripping curry sauce.
You. How did you get it?
Planet leave on Ganymede. Went on a raz with Peekson. He spiked my cocktail with half a pint of 4-star patrol. When I next awoke, I'd enrolled as a novice monk in a Ganymedean monastery. I discovered the Vindaloo tattoo when I handed in my habit.
Take your shoes and socks off. Crichton.
Crichton puts 2 pairs of scissors on the scanner top.
Now, gentlemen, trim your toenails.
Both Lister S start biting their toenails.
Enough.
Crichton picks up Lister's guitar and hands it to Lister 1.
Play the guitar.
Here. Inside.
Play it.
Lister 1 starts playing the guitar. It is a superb display of axemanship. We could get some guitar diva to crouch behind Lister and be his arms, ecstasy. After about 15 seconds of astonishing virtuosity, the music builds to a crescendo and ends. As the last chord dies away, Crichton and Cat hit Lister 1 with volley after volley of bazookoid fire. The insectoid siren writhes and screeches on the floor.
How did you know that wasn't me?
Apostrophe cause that dude could play.
He wasn't any better than me.
That's how you believe you play, sir. That's why, when the siren read your mind, he shared your illusion that you are not a ten-thumbed, tone-deaf, talentless noise polluter.
Are you seriously saying you think he was better than me?
Lister picks up the guitar and starts playing. It's terrible.
What's the difference? If anything, this is slightly better.
A little survival tip, bud. Never play your guitar in front of a man with a loaded gun.
I resent this. I resent you saving my life in this way. I won't forget this.
Where's it gone?
All look down for the siren's corpse. It has vanished. A trail of yellow siren blood leads to the spiral staircase.
It's crawled down to the engine room.
Alert lights flash into siren whoops.
Meteor storm! Off the port bow! It's a biggie!
Recommend you two stay here and man the cockpit. M.R. Rimmer and I will pursue the siren.
That's quite a good plan, Crichton. Excellent in all but one detail. I think you know what it is.
There's no time to argue.
Crichton heads for the spiral stairs. The others dash into the cockpit. After a short pause, the bloodstained trail vanishes, and the wounded siren drops its illusion of invisibility and reappears where it fell. Engine room. Crichton prowls around with his Syscan and Bazookoid. He gets an alert beep on his Syscan and rotates. He looks up. The wounded siren is behind him, some distance away.
Please, I have no desire to hurt you. Let us set you down on an asteroid where your fellow Jelfs can attend to your wounds.
The siren rests insectly.
There's no logic in trying to engage me in combat. I am unsatisfiable in that I have no desires or lusts, and my brain is synthetic and consequently of no interest to you. Give yourself up.
Crichton looks astonished. When we cut back, the siren has become a female scientist, Mammoth.
Professor Mammoth, my creator.
Hello, Crichton.
What is the function of this illusion? Mammoth starts to advance on him.
You cannot harm me, Crichton. It's coded into every cell in your body. You're totally defenseless against me.
Crichton lowers his bazookoid and takes out his walkie-talkie.
True. However, the others are not so hampered.
You are also programmed to obey my every command. Drop the radio.
Crichton involuntarily drops the walkie-talkie.
Open the waste compactor.
Against his will, Crichton opens the waste compactor we saw earlier.
What are you doing?
Climb inside.
No.
But he climbs inside.
This serves no.
Engage the mechanism.
You're sick.
Crichton struggles with himself but loses. He presses the compactor button. The hatch closes.
Die.
We hear the sound of Crichton being crushed. A silence. We hear footsteps on the metal stairs. Mammoth wheels round. Short, Lister, the cat and...
Walking along the gantry.
Crichton, you hear? The meteor storm was another illusion. The siren's not as badly wounded as we thought.
Crichton.
They spot Crichton's Syscan and Bazookoid, abandoned on the floor.
It's got him.
Lister picks up the Syscan and activates it.
Crichton.
Another section of engine room. Cat, Lister and Rimmer walk down some stairs. Rimmer suddenly fades to black and white.
My battery's going. Only a few seconds left. Need a recharge.
Rimmer's image vanishes, and his light beam falls to the floor. Lister picks it up and pockets it.
And then there were two.
Cat and Lister round the corner. We see the insectoid siren standing against a wall. Bizarrely, Cat and Lister don't react but walk straight up to it.
Want a drink, man?
I'm parched.
Lister stands facing the siren.
Cola.
From another angle, we see what they see, a Coke machine. Lister reaches for a button.
Wait a minute. What's a venting machine doing in the engine room? V.
In a flurry of arms, mandibles, and proboscis, the insectoid siren attacks Cat and Lister, knocking them both out. As they lie helpless, the insectoid siren takes out the metal straw. They are dead meat. Engine room. The waste compactor hatch springs open, and Crichton drops out. He has been compacted into a cube, with short, stumpy legs but no arms.
You scum-sucking mollusk. You can't do this to us.
He waddles furiously down the corridor. He catches sight of them on the deck below. Another section of the engine room. The insectoid has the woozy Lister by the locks, about to plunge the straw into his brain. We see Cube Crichton plummet down towards the insectoid. The insectoid looks up, but too late, as Cube Crichton crushes it. Cockpit. Cat in the pilot seat, Lister next to him. Rimmer is at the Navicomp.
That's it, Dash, we're clear of the belt.
What about Red Dwarf?
According to the Navicomp, it's gone into that gas nebula.
Then that's where we're heading.
The Cube Crichton waddles in with a tea tray on top of him.
Tea, anyone?
Cheers, man.
Suggest you don't put your cups on the console, sir. It leaves those ugly little ring marks. Why not use me as a table?
I thought you were going to fix yourself.
Not until I've performed all my duties, sir. I can't go gallivanting off engaging my self-repair unit, not when there's a pile of laundry in the washroom the size of the north face of the Eiger. Besides, Cat has invited me to the weekly crap game tonight.
He's gonna be the dice.
Approaching Nebula.
Let's see what's in there.
The end didn't go so bad now, did it?